de esa comunidad de Macul Yang, y sí, pues ahora sí, he vivido pues toda esa etapa.
Esto ha sido una lucha interminable por parte de nuestros ancestros, el preservar sus bosques, el preservar sus costumbres y el involucrar a los más jóvenes. En este caso, ¿no? Estás hablando de la sociedad de jóvenes cuando empezaban desde niños, ¿no? Y tristemente, como lo estabas planteando, Ixtlán de Juárez ahorita en estos momentos está siendo asediada por el gobierno del estado de Oaxaca.
Sí, desafortunadamente he escuchado un poco, no sé con muchos detalles, pero sí lamento lo que está viviendo la comunidad de Ixtlán, y ojalá pues se haga ese esfuerzo de que pues no se involucre el gobierno estatal, porque como te menciono, contamina la convivencia de nuestras comunidades.
Desde tu perspectiva, Sergio, y por lo que tú has vivido, ¿cuán efectivo es el trabajar de esta manera, a través de los usos y costumbres? ¿Y cuál es el beneficio que recibe la comunidad en general?
Bueno, pues nuestros ancestros han trabajado de una forma, pues conviviendo con los recursos naturales que se tienen, porque son comunidades con recursos naturales ricos en, por ejemplo, en nuestros bosques, ¿no? Son bosques de coníferas que pues actualmente nos están dando pues las utilidades para el beneficio de la infraestructura de nuestras comunidades, y con los usos y costumbres pues que se ha manejado a través de muchísimos años, cómo elegir a nuestros representantes. El gobierno del estado no llega a imponer quién quiere que nos administre, sino la misma comunidad sabe y conoce y elige a la persona adecuada para cada cargo, ¿no? Empezando como presidente municipal y sus regidores, su síndico municipal, secretario, tesorero, comandantes, policías. Es parte de la autoridad municipal, y luego por otro lado, del Comisariado de Bienes Comunales, que se dedica a administrar nuestros recursos naturales, y también se elige pues a través de la Asamblea General de Comuneros, que se rige por usos y costumbres. Entonces, de esa manera se ha trabajado y pues ha dado buenos resultados. Lamentablemente, cuando los partidos políticos se involucran, pues las cosas cambian, y pues lo tenemos de experiencia, como a veces la gente se divide, ¿no? A veces familiares se dividen por querer ganar alguna elección.
Buenas noches, señor mayoral. ¿Cómo la comunidad desde aquí de Los Ángeles, la comunidad oaxaqueña, puede apoyar a sus compatriotas? ¿Hay alguna forma, alguna asociación, hay algún tipo de comunicación entre ustedes y la gente que está muy aparte de nada más de las familias, sino de como de un gobierno a gobierno? ¿Hay alguna forma de apoyo? Porque a lo mejor alguno de nuestros radioescuchas quiere involucrarse y ser parte también de esta defensa a su manera, ¿no?
Bueno, somos muchos los que radicamos aquí en lo que es el condado de Los Ángeles, originarios de San Pablo Macuiltianguis. Muchos de nosotros somos ciudadanos activos. Al decir ciudadanos activos, quiere decir que nosotros, aunque no estemos viviendo en nuestra comunidad de origen,
exacto,
nosotros participamos en todos los en todas las obligaciones que hay para la comunidad, como los que viven y radican allá en la comunidad, como son los cargos que se hacen, los tequios, la compostura de caminos, de cercos, las asambleas que se llevan a cabo. Nosotros no estamos allá, pero de todas maneras nos multan por no estar allá y nos mandan nuestra cuenta por esas faltas, y tenemos que cubrirlas.
Muy bien.
Muchos también pues de alguna manera no participan como lo participamos nosotros. No son ciudadanos activos de la comunidad, son de la comunidad, pero por alguna razón no están contribuyendo con la comunidad.
Señor Mayoral, perdón, ¿cuándo nos invita, cuándo nos acompaña a un programa?
Yo la verdad, yo les podría sugerir algo, que pudieran contactarse con la autoridad municipal de la comunidad de nosotros, y también podrían tener quizás otro programa para no revolver las cosas, la autoridad municipal aparte, y luego hacer otro día con la autoridad comunal. Uh-huh. Porque cada autoridad tiene sus funciones específicas, y sí me gustaría estar, pero lo adecuado pudiera sugerirles que pudieran hacer un contacto con las autoridades, porque entonces ellos pues son oficialmente, ¿no?, los que pues representan. Yo me tomé la libertad de opinar ahorita, pero es muy personal.
No, hombre, pero qué...
Es muy personal, y para mí la mejor sugerencia es de que ustedes pudieran hacer contacto con las autoridades.
Claro.
Ambas autoridades, y sería un magnífico programa que los tuvieran en vivo.
Sí, definitivamente, y es muy importante la participación del público, incluso, ¿no?, a través de las experiencias que han tenido en este caso, ¿no?, Sergio Mayoral, pues tú has sido miembro de una de las autoridades que están establecidas en San Pablo Macuiltianguis, ¿no? ¿No, Sergio?
Sí, pues la confianza que la autoridad, que la Asamblea de Comuneros confiere a uno, pues uno no busca los cargos, uno no los escoge. Como te pueden dar un cargo de lo más alto o un cargo de lo más bajo, no puedes escogerlo, sino depende ahí la confianza de la Asamblea. Y lamentablemente, pues en mi persona, yo voy cada año, voy a la comunidad, visito a la comunidad, estoy enterado de muchas cosas que pasan en la comunidad, tengo contacto con amigos, con familiares, y en un pasado pues tuve muy buenas comunicaciones también con las autoridades. Últimamente pues ha sido un poco diferente. Entonces los cargos lamentablemente yo no he podido ejercerlos personalmente, más sin embargo uno los busca ya, ¿no?, en el pueblo, y uno tiene que pagar a la persona que hace el cargo de parte de uno. Pues esa parte pues no he podido contribuir como otra persona al 100%, pero todo lo que ha sido mi alcance pues lo he hecho con mucha voluntad, con mucho gusto, sirviendo a la comunidad.
Pues muy buenísima sugerencia, muchas gracias, Sergio, y muy buena sugerencia la tuya, y definitivamente sí, ¿no?, la autoridad municipal es totalmente distinta a la autoridad comunal. En este caso, como en San Pablo Macuiltián y Sinixtlán de Juárez, está el municipio y está el comisariado de bienes comunales, ¿no? Cada uno tiene su función.
Sí, es muy similar a lo de Macuiltián y a lo de Ixtlán, con sus autoridades tanto municipal como comunal.
Pues te damos las gracias por tu participación, Sergio, y pues esperamos contar con tu presencia en uno de estos próximos programas para profundizar en temas de tu conocimiento, y por cuestión de tiempo pues nos vamos a estar despidiendo. Entonces, pues gracias, muchísimas gracias por tu llamada y por tu participación, mi estimado.
Pues felicidades con este programa. No sé desde cuándo empezaron, pero fue suerte que los escuché hoy, quise escucharlos y también opinar algo referente al tema.
Muchísimas gracias.
¿Cada cuándo es el programa y cuál es el horario que tiene?
Miércoles cada 15 días de 8:30 a 9:30 de la noche aquí por la KPFK, para que la comunidad oaxaqueña y todas las comunidades nos escuchen, y va con mucho cariño.
De este miércoles al siguiente nos toca.
Ok, en 15 días.
En 15 días.
En 15 días, sí.
Ok. Pues muchas gracias y felicidades, y sigan con ese programa. Es muy útil porque pues muchos radicamos acá y muchos también pues quisiéramos saber qué está pasando ahí en la Sierra Juárez.
Este es un programa hecho con mucho cariño y le agradecemos muchísimo que nos haya hablado y su participación. Es hora de despedirnos. Agradecemos profundamente a la gente que nos sintonizó, a la gente de sus llamadas. Muchas gracias a todos por escucharnos, compañero.
Muchas gracias, Sergio, y pues estamos en contacto.
Vale, felicidades y enhorabuena, gracias.
Gracias. Bueno, les damos gracias al apoyo a nuestros compañeros y compañeros de compañeras y compañeros de la Asociación de Programadores y Programadores en Español.
Oaxaca. Desde lo más profundo de nuestras raíces y nuestras prácticas tradicionales.
¿Sugerencias y comentarios?
Visite nuestra página de Facebook.
Este es KPFK 90.7 FM Los Ángeles, 98.7 FM Santa Bárbara, 93.7 FM San Diego, 99.5 FM Ridgecrest China Lake y por todo el mundo en kpfk.org.
Con casas de apartamentos y echar al pueblo a sufrir y seguir de modo cruel contra el pueblo conspirando para seguirlo explotando y en eso llegó Fidel. Y se acabó la diversión, llegó el comandante y mandó a parar. Y se acabó la diversión, llegó el comandante y mandó a parar.
I'm Sakura Saunders. You're listening to Freak Radio Santa Cruz, FRSC 101.
Well, if anything like that is happening,
And coming next on Freak Radio Santa Cruz, it's Bathrobe Spears Broadside. And coming up next on Free Radio Santa Cruz, it's the February 2nd, 2017 show of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. There we go. Stay tuned.
Tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs, they simply make me mad. Ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic, I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking, why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't. Sing me of wars and sing me of breadlines. Tell me of front page news. Sing me of strikes and last minute headlines. Dress your observation in syncopation. Sing me a song with social significance. There's nothing else that will do. It must get hot with what is what, or I won't love you. A song that's satirical, putting the mirror into miracle. tell me of mills and mines. Sing me of courts that aren't impartial. What's to be done with them? Tell me in rhythm. Sing me a song with social significance. There's nothing else that will do. It must be tense with common sense, or I won't love you.
And welcome to another edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides. I'm Robert Norris. I'll be with your host. I'll be with you, and I will be your host, both. Hopefully with you on the phone, because we do have phone lines that connect with the studio. And though we're not yet broadcasting on the air again, there is chatter on the internet about that happening soon. So for all of you folks who are missing us on your radios, could happen again soon. I'm hoping it will. And if you want to kind of nudge the process along, feel free to leave us a message on the Free Radio website, freakradio.org, where those of you who are listening to this February 2nd show live are actually listening now, I imagine. You can also get schedules there. You can also get application forms there. We're looking for new people. And you can let us know if you have any ideas where we can find a new studio space. So while we may have an antenna, at least a temporary antenna space, and that's looking hopeful, the studio is going to be gone at the end of the month, and we have only 3 weeks or so, a little bit more, 4 weeks, I guess. February is a short month this year, or whatever. So we need some help in this regard, and if you have any ideas where there be a 10x10 space, preferably in the downtown area, but actually anywhere in the greater Santa Cruz area would be possible. We're willing to pay for it. We'll hook up on the internet there, and we'll put in our phone line, and we'll be up and away again, which is actually where we've been for the last, I don't know how many months it's been now, 6, 8 months, a bit more, maybe almost 10 months, thanks to the generosity of the individual who let us into this particular space we're in now but have to leave. Not due to any real problems with the FCC or with rent, just difficulties that we have to accommodate our landlord, and we appreciate his being so generous and understanding with us in the past. But we need a new landlord, and that could be you or someone you know. So if you want, leave a message at freakradio.org or call in at 423-4833. That's my off-air number. I'm not an official rep for the station, but I am one of the broadcasters, and we'll be having a meeting soon, and I'll be able to pass on your information to them, and we can sort of check out any leads you may give us. We're also considering creating a reward for this, so who knows? You might walk away with a little extra booty. The last folks who found us a station space, I guess they clocked about $400 on that. So, I'm going to begin this show by flashing back a bit, not actually very far back, a couple of weeks, to catch up on some old audio that I taped. I'm still occasionally using my trusty and ancient tape recorders that often work and sometimes don't. But I'm trying to upgrade my technology, and hopefully things are going to get better, but in the meantime, at least they're continuing. These are some more street interviews. I believe we're talking a couple of Mondays ago down on Pacific Avenue.
I'm out here on Pacific Avenue in front of New Leaf, leaning against the closed kiosk. It's going to be closed Mondays and Tuesdays, January through April, according to the little sign in the kiosk. And I'm talking with that man of many bells, whistles, and teddy bears. What's your name, sir?
Meriwether Mike. Glad to be catching up with Bathrobes Pierre, a.k.a. Robert Snorless.
Oh, dear. I've heard that one long ago. That's an ancient name.
Right.
You have a guitar with you. Are you still threatening to play your guitar?
Well, I've been unduly influenced by the rowdies at the Monday dinner, and so I'm carrying on the tradition.
So, are you inside or outside these days, Mike, if you wish to discuss your personal living situation?
Well, when it's raining, I'm definitely got cover. But either way, you know, we're all out here just doing the next right thing. We're not worried about forever or issues from the past. Just what can we do today to keep ourselves going and help others when led to do so.
Feels like it's starting to rain. Is that your impression?
You know, it's feeling that just a bit.
I feel the tinkle sprinkle, actually, a little bit.
Sprinkle of the tinkle, yeah.
You've been around Santa Cruz for how long now?
Well, I used to say more or less 5 years, and now I'm on my more or less 10 years. Give or take five, I don't know.
What have you seen a change in 10 years, if anything?
What affects me most directly is the space to play. Like right now, I'm in an authorized spot, but the cops aren't rolling, so I'm going to try to get a couple songs in, but it's got a little cover, and I'm going to work it.
So you admit to being a criminal under an awning guy who is shamelessly abusing city property.
That's probably a mild way to put it.
And the place I'm talking to Meriwether Mike is right outside New Leaf Market at the kiosk there, which is sort of informational booth, where there's a little bit of an awning. And that used to be the place where a group called SAFE, Society for Artistic Freedom and Expression, or Stop Enforcement of Foolish Ordinances, you can never quite get the acronym right, but it was a group that was concerned with deliberately, consciously, and peacefully violating the anti-performer and anti-homeless ordinances, downtown ordinances, that specifically crowded performers, sitters, political tablers, vendors, everybody who wasn't in motion or heading to and from stores or some other destination. Anyway, in other words, people who wanted to socialize and use the downtown space for non-commercial purposes into very small spaces. And we played every Wednesday night, as I remember, if I'm remembering correctly. And actually, I didn't play. I kind of, for a while, I set up a table and gave out literature, occasionally reported on what went down, and supported the group that came out every Wednesday to reclaim the space. And the police were generally, after initially trying to kind of move us along, and gave up on it and didn't issue tickets, but simply left us alone. But that space, which is in front of New Leaf Market, is now illegal to be in. Well, it wasn't entirely illegal when we were doing it a decade ago, but with the expansion of the so-called forbidden zones on Pacific Avenue, which is 14 feet from, well, it's illegal to sit or spare change within 14 feet of all kinds of things, which leaves about less than a half of a percent of the sidewalk really open for either sitting or peaceful spare changing, in theory. Although in practice, police often do not enforce. It simply becomes a sort of a matter of the mellow police state, if you're into that sort of thing, which I'm not at all. And, of course, performers are now being corralled into these performance pens, as I call them, these rectangular areas that are demarked by brass circles or discs on the sidewalk. And there are less than 30 of them, and less than 10 or 15 in areas that people can use, and only usable for an hour at a time, for which time you have to leave and be gone for 24 hours, in theory, or suffer a ticket for several, between $200 and $300. And some artists have actually refused to obey those rules and have gotten a number of tickets, notably Alex Skelton and Joff Jones, who now display their artwork from the side of a vehicle. If you go down Pacific Avenue, that's what you'll see. And also are spending some time standing up for the rights of other performers, such as a juggler that they faced off against, I guess it was Sergeant, if it isn't already Lieutenant, I don't know, Eveleth. I think it's Sergeant Eveleth, Mark Eveleth, who attempted to shut down this juggler. And I've described this whole thing on the air, and it's also available if you want to pursue that story. It's on Santa Cruz Indie Media. And it was a successful, essentially, we didn't roll back the downtown ordinances, but we did roll back the latest police advance to walk over the small area of liberty left to people on Pacific Avenue who want to do any performing or vending or cabling or whatever, but they aren't selling shoes. And that, of course, was an issue that we got into at the latest Huff Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom meeting, which we had yesterday, and we're still working on this project, which I think I've mentioned in prior shows. Merchants up and down Pacific Avenue have these both these large A-frame signs advertising their businesses, some of them do, as well as parts of their business sitting on the sidewalk, notably the shoe stores. And I've never researched the shoe store situation in terms of folks putting their crap out on, I'm sorry, their merchandise out on the sidewalk and taking up public space that way. And it's not that I don't like it per se, although, you know, in a way I'm actually both neutral to mildly positive. I mean, I like to see more people out in the public space, even merchants. But the problem on Pacific Avenue is that people who aren't merchants are heavily criminalized and sharply controlled in ways that merchants are not. And we had a fellow who came to our Huff meeting recently, who may call in tonight, who knows, who was saying that, well, the merchants pay for their businesses. Why shouldn't they be allowed to take over the sidewalks as well? He didn't quite put it that way, but that's how I kind of read what he was saying. And, of course, the answer is the sidewalks are really for the whole community. They aren't just for the merchants, even though the merchants have stores next to the sidewalk, just as residents have residences next to the sidewalk. The sidewalks are for the whole community. It's particularly important for poor people and marginalized people because those people don't usually have the same kind of access to stores and residences that people with more wealth do, or tourists do, let's say. And so these public spaces on the sidewalks become important. They become places where people can meet and gather and talk, socialize, exchange, goodness knows what, amuse each other. And also, it's continually pointed out on the show that these spaces are also an area that actually constitutes a merchant draw and a commercial draw and an economic draw to the city of Santa Cruz for folks who come to Santa Cruz specifically to see all those wild and woolly characters on the sidewalk, at least insofar as they're performing and don't play too badly. It's really a bad idea that the city council has been doing over the last three decades in restricting space. But it really is part of an ongoing class war that's seen much more severely in the homeless death rate. And homeless is really the operative word here, because that's why these measures are being put into place generally, not because they really have a lot of objection, merchants and the politicians who cater to them, a lot of objection to performers or even political activists, what few political activists we have in town that are actually doing anything. Mostly it's sort of, folks from out of town like Greenpeace or Democratic Party hacks around election time. There's been I haven't really noticed an upsurge with the protests against Trump's continuation and intensification of Obama's anti-immigrant policies. That has to be said really, really clearly, because this attempt to blame Trump for Obama's policies is ridiculous. I mean, you certainly should blame Trump for the extension and the intensification of those policies, no question. But indicate where they came from, and then look at your allies to the right and left. And if they're Democrats who simply want to return to a somewhat milder form of repression, then know who you're working side by side with. Really important to know that. And be clear about what you want to do. Anyway, Musical Mike is a guy who's very colorfully garbed. He carries a small teddy bear with him, somewhat like I do, and I'm wearing a bathrobe in sleeping band demonstrations, satirizing and protesting the laws that make it illegal to sleep after 11 o'clock at night in Santa Cruz. And he kind of has a whole bunch of colorful items with him, and he's sort of an archetypal hippie-esque street person guy, who I call Meriwether Mike. And he has been ticketed and driven away from the downtown, although he's come back. And I talked to him about this some weeks ago on the air, and I didn't quite get a clear answer that I remember as to where he got the courage to return, because certainly things really haven't gotten much better. I think they've generally gotten worse, although you'll hear different opinions on that. And all this is sort of a riff on Meriwether Mike, and I'm going to get back to the interview and a little bit of music from Meriwether Mike, who's... music may not weather as merrily as his disposition, which is a very sunny one indeed.
Unless you're rotting chicken. Well, let's hear some of your music there, Mike.
Well, one of the great songs by Woody Guthrie that we did, I want to try to pick up that momentum and that fun of street music. If I had a hammer in the morning, hammer in the evening, all over Santa Cruz, hammer out justice, hammer out freedom, hammer on the love between the brothers and the sisters.
Now, sometimes my recordings are bad, and sometimes what I record is a bit out of tune. But when both things come together at the same time, I'm going to have to pull the plug and apologize to my audience. And I'm going to kind of hold off on the rest of that song and instead kind of hopefully move on to something a little more professional. Though, frankly, it's really important to be aware of the real human beings that are downtown, and to me, in a way, they kind of hold the community together, because they're sort of they're the eyes on the street that are there when your friends, the police, are busy rousting people who are sleeping or, I don't know, somewhere else. I've really tried to get some kind of good answers from people as to when they've been helped by the local police. And I've been helped on four or five occasions in the last 20 years, and those occasions have generally been when my vehicle was stolen. And I've thanked them, actually, and I've written letters, and I commend them for that kind of activity. But generally speaking, I wouldn't say that I was kept safer by the police force. I think that's, frankly, an illusion that people suffer under. And it's not that I want to badmouth the police force because they're not doing this. I don't think they really could do this. I think it really is a community matter and community issue. But I think that it's important to clarify when people are kind of fooling themselves and believing mythologies that are spread by, they're spread by police departments themselves, which like to, you know, give their own departments credit and, frankly, provide more jobs and more funding for their departments. And they are on the lookout for different kinds of crimes, and they probably feel that if they had more resources and more money, they could do more to stop more crime, which may or may not be true. Often crime, unfortunately, is often actually a class issue, where it's simply a matter of, depending on how poor you are, how likely you are to be typed as a criminal for doing such things as, you know, falling asleep, being in a park after dark, smoking outside when you have no other place to go. And there are hundreds of tickets. The majority of police stops, a plurality of police stops, actually in 2013, I believe, and I could be slightly off on this, as described by outgoing Deputy Chief Steve Clark and his oration to city council to encourage them to intensify his anti-homeless hysteria in the Poganip and elsewhere with this task force on public safety, which was actually a task force on public harassment of homeless people, because they were became a great crime stat because of their sleep crimes and things of that sort. But these kinds of figures pack the police docket. And the police, I think, are not really too happy that that's the case, or at least to have that case exposed to the community. So it is when I... It's taken me a year and a half to at least even get the police to claim I will have access to the records, which I've been looking to review, to examine the cost of sleeping ban citations, the cost of what appears to me to be harassment of homeless and poor people outside for non-crime crimes, as they are so described by the city council and so enforced by the police department. And I haven't been able to, I still have not gotten word back from Chief Vogel, who I've written twice requesting specifically, after I finally got a letter from the police department that I could get access to the records. I wanted to know when I could come in and do it so that I wouldn't amass a team of folks to come in with me and go through all these hundreds of citations, since the police are not willing to give me a printout of the citations, which includes race and class. Those are the two key factors that they keep omitting from the summations that they do give. Then I need to know when those citations will be available for me to be able to look at. And I guess I just start showing up every day or something, and who knows? Maybe I'll be doing that. Anyway, let's see if I can roll forward with some more interviews. Skipping ahead past some of the questionable music, which my apologies to Meriwether. I can't combine both atonal music with crappy recording. I mean, that I can't do it. I can't do it. So let's see where we're at here. And what I've got next here, you can probably kind of hear it in the distance, or could a moment ago, is a meeting I had with Councilmember Chris Krohn, who was newly elected to City Council 3 months ago and did have one publicly announced meeting at which he invited the community to come, who can get briefed on and ask questions about the City Council agenda and maybe communicate to him what they wanted done, although the meeting is scheduled so that it's, I think it was either the day of or the day before the City Council meeting. It was close, so close to it, you couldn't get anything on the agenda. You have to do that a week in advance. It's kind of a catch-22 if you want to both examine the agenda and then add something to it. You can't do it unless you can get it's an emergency situation, or it's called an urgency item. You need to give an excuse as to why you didn't have it on the regular agenda, and you also need to have 5 votes to put it on, 5 out of 7 votes in the City Council. But Councilmember Krohn was one of the few council members I know of who years ago, when he was on the City Council, actually did have regular meetings, at least for some of his 4-year tenure, before the council, where you could kind of talk and find out what's going on and complain and grumble. And I don't recall how far many of us got at those meetings with him, but he had them, and that is saying something, which isn't generally done by any other council member. So I actually sent out an email to all the other council members, including the new council member Sandy Brown and Watkins, the new council member, who's kind of one of the, who knows? I can't say whether she's one of the Cynthia Matthews gang, but that was my fear and is my fear. And hopefully I'm wrong, at least on civil liberties and homeless civil rights issues, things of that sort. But I got back, responses from every council member except Krohn, Watkins, and Brown, the 3 new members, that said they didn't have any regular office hours. Cynthia Chase was an exception. She's the mayor. She does have office hours 10 to 12:30. And they were just, you had to call them and talk to them and arrange something. And at least they responded. I mean, it wasn't, it's kind of an empty response. What it really said was, no, we don't have office hours. Another thing I often do with mayors, I don't know if I'm going to do it this time or not, is I request that they, A, send me a listing of all their upcoming public appearances, so that if the community wants to come to their public appearances, they'll know when and where they are, number one. Two, that they give a listing of all their meetings in the last month, or since they were actually in office, with lobbyists. They keep a record of who's lobbying them, so that we can get a sense of what pressures are being put on city council members. I think the only council member who's ever done this that I remember, and I could be wrong about this, and my apologies to council members if my memory is not accurate here, is Don Lane, who I haven't got a lot of positive things to say about mostly, except that he was more transparent in that regard than the other council members have been in the past. And he also, everyone will always remind me who's interested in homeless civil rights, he did attempt to remove the word sleep from the sleeping ban. Of course, so did Chris Crone years ago on one occasion. And Lane actually tried to do that twice. Lane tried to do it many, many years ago. In 1989, the first council meeting of the year, of the new year, when he right after he was elected, he had been elected in a very contentious race with, I think there were 14 people running for city council. I think it was only three seats. Might have been four. I think it was three. And one of the things he'd agreed to do, because there were actually homeless people running for city council, and there were protests, and there were sit-ins, and there were massive numbers of people going through the courts arrested for sleeping and sleep-outs. And he had committed himself to some kind of modification of the camping ban, or the sleeping sections of the camping ordinance. And I think he attempted to raise the issue, and he was smacked down by Mayor Marty Wormhout, who's dead now, and who then went on to be a supervisor. And she was originally an activist. A lot of these, I think the city council is like the activist graveyard. It's where the people go to die and push up daisies. That's what happened to Marty Wormhout anyway, at least in terms of, well, she never was a homeless activist, but she was an activist for preserving Lighthouse Field and women's rights, although not poor women's rights, in terms of the right to legally sleep without being harassed by what are now $198 tickets. So that never quite entered her mind, or it did actually, and she said, you know, tough shit. She didn't put it in those words, I'm sure. I'm on the west side, and if you aren't, well, you're just kind of shit out of luck. And I think she also took that position when she became a Board of Supervisors member. And when much of the community a decade later was really moving, including city bodies, to urge ending the sleeping ban. And that's when, actually, the first occasion when Chris Crone, who's now on the council, attempted to modify the sleeping ban, at least over the winter of 1998-99. He came into office with actually a majority that looked like they could change the sleeping ban, unlike the situation for Don Lane a decade before when he came in 1988 in that election. And he was one of a couple of new members, but he couldn't even get his item on the agenda. Mayor Marty Wormhout wouldn't allow that to happen. But in this situation, when Crone was addressing these issues a decade later, and still we're talking almost 20 years ago, but it's the same issue, you know, it's the same issue, the right of poor people to be able to sleep without being harassed, even if you haven't got a place for them or a house for them, and at least don't go after them for doing what they have to do. And that still, it's still a moral dividing line in the minds of many people, I think, who might otherwise be very conservative. So people who are often, you know, church members and, you know, might believe in creationism and fundamentalism and are very heavily into Jesus worship, as I would call it, don't don't have much sympathy for authorities who criminalize homeless people in that regard, although they might be very sympathetic with other kinds of conservative policies by city councils and so forth. So all this riff is me trying to decide whether I want to subject you to Councilmember Chris Crone's really the only public meeting that I know that he's had prior to city council, at least that I've heard announced, which was at the Cafe Pergolesi, and it was I and I guess one or two other people were the only ones who showed up at this meeting. And Chris Crone came on the air, you regular listeners may remember, and I warned him it would be rough sledding for him because I'm not patient with council members, as regular listeners know, particularly on issues that I feel are self-evident, such as basic human rights issues. I mean, I feel that they need to be lambasted and not coddled. And so it is where I get very annoyed when council members are approached by critics who have to preface their criticism by saying, I really appreciate the opportunity to speak here, instead of saying, I'm really pissed that you're only giving us 3 minutes and you're going to be ignoring everything we're saying. In other words, people don't talk reality and sense to these council members. And really, there's a reason they don't, because I know the council members aren't going to be listening to it unless it's put into a very special format. And even then, it really depends on all kinds of other factors, like what kind of influence you have and how it's going to fit into their agenda. But to me, it's always been a matter of ultimately appealing to the community. Which you might say, well, why haven't you learned better after how many decades of doing this? And the answer is no, not yet. And I guess it's important. The one thing I feel I can do is continue to speak truthfully and strongly as I can, or as I feel I should, on these issues, and then continue to encourage others to do the same, and I don't want to say hope that this will change things, since I don't really know if that's justified, but I think that it's a healthy thing to do, and it's a healthy thing for the community to have happen, and that's why I do it. Anyway, you're tuned to Free Radio at the stream of 101.3 FM, but we're not at 101.3 FM right now because we're not broadcasting, but we are streaming, and we're also archiving. This show archives on the Huff website at huffsantacruz.org, H-U-F-F, Santa Cruz, all one word, all small letters, .org, as well as hundreds of other shows that are all stashed on that website in case you want to check them out. And I'm going to take a musical break now, and you can too if you'd like.
Have you seen that vigilante man? Have you seen that vigilante man? Have you seen that vigilante man? I've been hearing his name all over the land. Well, what is a vigilante man? Tell me, what is a vigilante man? Club in his hand, is that the vigilante man? Rainy night down in the engine house, sleeping just as still as a mouse. Man come along and chased us in rain, is that the vigilante man? Stormy days we pass the time away, sleeping in some good warm place.
now come along and we give him a little ring. Say, was that you, vigilante man? Preacher Casey was just a working man. And he said, unite all us working men. They killed him in the river, some strange man. Was that your vigilante man? Oh, why does a vigilante man carry that sort of shotgun in his hand? Would he shoot his brother and sister down? I rambled around from town to town. I rambled around from town to town. And they herded us around like a wild herd of cattle. Is that your vigilante man? Have you seen that vigilante man? Have you seen that vigilante man? I've heard his name all over this land. Town, it's much too monotonous, sticking around at a regular job. All the time somebody bossing and spotting us. I ain't cut out for a laboring job. Things here is much too precise and persnickety. Say, boy, I'd just as soon be in jail. It's us for the road and the wheels go clickety, clickety, click on the glimmering rails. It's us for the road and the old hobo wagon, loafing around in the wind and the sun, cool of the night and the salt of the hagen. Mary, you worry, your work to be done. Say, ain't you ready to beat it by clickety? Jump on a freight, be off on the trail. Hearing the noise of the wheels that go clickety, clickety, click on the glimmering rails. Judges, they'll call you a shame to society. Great men, they'll bounce you off onto the ground. Well, tramping's no cinch, but it's full of variety. Here we're just plodding and plodding around. I just, I'm getting off feeble and rickety. Say, boy, we'll wither up, sure, if we stay. So let's grab a rattler with wheels that go clickety, 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 click. Say, ain't you ready to beat it by clickety? Jump on a freight, be off on the trail. Hearing the noise of the wheels that go clickety, clickety, click on the glimmering rails.
And that was two from Rovick's album Make It So, Vigilante Man and Song of the Rail. And he often has some interesting commentary with these songs. Let's see what he says about that. Vigilante Man is apparently, according to his notes, a classic tune by the great man Woody Guthrie, as sadly relevant today as it was when he wrote it. I also love the eerie melody he adds. Song of the Rail is a Ralph Chaplin song. And if I can read what it says, as well as being a leader of the wondrous IWW, Ralph Chaplin was also a fine songwriter. IWW is the Industrial Workers of the World, a group that led massive protests about 100 years ago to establish the rights of labor, women, even African Americans, which in those days was quite something. And a lot of things called free speech fights. And so that was Vigilante Man and Song of the Rail. Speaking of free speech fights, there was a write-up in the paper this morning, if you read the Mercury News, about strong protests in Berkeley against the speaking event of Milo Yiannopoulos, who's an editor for the Breitbart News organization. That's the right-wing organization out of which Steve Bannon, now sitting on the inner councils of the Trump regime, comes from. And I admit to some mixed feelings as I was reading about the whole situation, where essentially violent protests broke up, if the media is correct, broke up the speech, the scheduled speech by this guy, who's he describes himself as a sort of a shock jock of the right, or the alt-right, as it's called. And I'm going to play for you both what the what right-wingers are saying about how, you know, well, these Berkeley activists shut down this conservative speaker, showing that they have no toleration for free speech when it disagrees with them. And then the response of those on the left to that. I don't have a audio of the response, but I can read you what that's about. What I will do now, though, is... Let's... I'll play you a live stream from that. Hopefully it will be audible. Let's see how we're doing here. And it's titled Berkeley Milo Yiannopoulos Riot Turns Violent. And let's see if we can actually get some action here. It's a little slow if it's operating. Let's see if it's operating at all. No, it looks like the video is unavailable, and I'm not sure why. But I'll read you what it says. A protest turned riot against Breitbart editor Milo Yiannopoulos at the University of California, Berkeley, escalating into a campus lockdown. Reports of violence, a canceled speech, and Yiannopoulos leaving campus. And Berkeley police, for your safety, stay away from the Sproul Plaza area. Milo event canceled. This is about 6:20 last night. Shelter in place, if on campus. I guess that means don't walk around. All campus buildings on lockdown. People posted videos of the unrest on social media. According to Fox News, not exactly your lefty source, a small group dressed in black showed up and began throwing flares and other objects at the building. Some members of that group were wearing hooded sweatshirts. Violence at UC Berkeley. This is not a protest. Absolute bedlam in Berkeley. Last fence broken through. Flares going off left and right. The pictures of broken windows. Chase Bank, downtown Berkeley, during protest against alt-right speaker Milo. Same to Wells Fargo and Bank of America. Liberals are currently beating peaceful Trump supporters unconscious. And I'm trying to see if we have any pictures of that. And let's see here. Nope, we can't play that media. School announced the talk was canceled, saying amid violence, destruction of property, and out of concern for public safety, UC police determined it was necessary to remove Milo Yiannopoulos from campus and to cancel tonight's scheduled 8 p.m. performance. And I'm still looking for video that has been removed. And so this is clearly, let's see what it says here. The police wrote in a statement, UC PD is alerting residents and pedestrians about a dangerous situation taking place now in the area of Bancroft Way and Telegraph. And Yiannopoulos, who was banned from Twitter for trolling behavior, released a statement accusing protesters of throwing rocks, lighting fires, causing other havoc. I've been evacuated from UC Berkeley campus after violent left-wing protesters tore down barricades, lit fires, threw rocks and Roman candles at the windows, and breached the ground floor of the building. My team and I are safe, but the event has been canceled. I'll let you know more when the facts are clear. One thing we do know for sure, the left is absolutely terrified of free speech and will literally do anything to shut it down. Yiannopoulos, a conservative internet provocateur and writer, is making rounds at campuses throughout the country, causing controversy along the way. Campuses across the United States have struggled on how to draw the line between hate speech and freedom of speech, as Yiannopoulos is known for his sharp-tongued comments against different groups of people. Some people have attached Yiannopoulos to the controversial alt-right movement. And that's some of the stuff off of a stream from a group called Heavy. Whereas if you go to Santa Cruz Indie Media in the East Bay, a somewhat more leftist group, you read the following by Anonymous. A speaking event by Milo Yiannopoulos at UC Berkeley was canceled last night after a protest erupted outside the student union. Yiannopoulos was scheduled to appear at the Pauley Ballroom inside the building. Milo and his supporters have claimed that the protest and the cancellation was counter to the values of free speech. The alt-right have tried to identify their movement as an extension or modern incarnation of the free speech movement from Berkeley in the 60s. Milo's supporters have invoked Mario Savio's name to support their interpretation of the free speech movement. The alt-right is misquoted in asserting that they are the modern-day defenders of free speech on campus. As the story continues, they misinterpret the intent of the free speech movement for their own agenda. The alt-right depicts Milo Yiannopoulos as Mario Savio's equal without examining what Savio said. Mario Savio did not believe that free speech was absolute. Savio spoke of the responsibility that came with free speech. He hoped that the newfound freedom on campus would be used responsibly. Mario Savio's statements in 1964 were similar to the 1962 Spider-Man quote, "With great power comes great responsibility." Yeah, that was from the movie, but nonetheless, some years later. It can be argued that Milo's brand of divisive rhetoric is not responsible speech. A distinction can be made that separates out hate speech from free speech. Standing in front of an emotionally heated crowd, stirring up sexism, transphobia, fear of immigrants, fear of Muslims, and etc., is socially irresponsible. At a time when hate crimes have been on the rise, according to civil rights organizations and the FBI's own statistics, Milo's untempered statements fuel more hatred. And what Mario Savio said was, "There's a time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop." That's a quote from Mario Savio speaking to students, I believe, in 1963 in the Sproul Plaza area or near there on the campus of the University of California at Berkeley. And his issue was the campus was trying to shut down and was shutting down the right to organize politically on campus, civil disobedience movements, and even political organizing off campus involving fighting racial discrimination that was being done by activists who were kind of taking to the West Coast what was being done in the South to try to fight segregation and racial discrimination. So continuing with this story about the last night's shutting down of Milo Yiannopoulos' speech, the most famous quotation of the free speech movement is the "bodies upon the gears" portion of Mario Savio's speech given on Sproul Plaza. Savio called for people to stop odiously unjust systems. Yiannopoulos works for Breitbart, a media organization described by its own members as a platform for the alt-right. The former executive chair of Breitbart, Steve Bannon, is currently the White House chief strategist. No other media organization has closer ties to the office of the president than Breitbart. Breitbart Media is a gear in the machine. The protesters at UC Berkeley put their bodies upon a gear and shut down the apparatus from operating inside the student union. Not sure if throwing flares is exactly putting your bodies on the gears. It's trying to interfere with the gears, for sure. The protest at UC Berkeley happened days after protests at San Francisco SFO airport and other airports in the U.S. against Donald Trump's ban on Muslims entering the U.S. from the seven blacklisted nations. Muslims, including green card holders and citizen residents, were detained at airports while searched and interrogated. Steve Bannon, who has ties to white nationalist groups, oversaw the drafting of the anti-Muslim travel ban. Breitbart Media began supporting a travel ban in 2015 and continuing into 2016 when Steve Bannon was still executive chair. At a press conference in New York to discuss a legal challenge against the travel ban, Breitbart employee Neil Monroe caused a disruption and accused that organization of not supporting the rights of actual Americans. As part of Breitbart, Milo also deals in unmitigated Islamophobia. Donald Trump is threatening to cut off funding to sanctuary cities, which includes cities like Berkeley. Breitbart Media is a sounding board for distrust against sanctuary cities and undocumented immigrants. Breitbart staff editorializes against sanctuary cities. Milo interviewed Joe Arpaio to help his 2016 re-election campaign for sheriff of Arizona's Maricopa County. Arpaio had fallen under scrutiny by the Justice Department, the ACLU, and faith-based human rights organizations as a sheriff who was sort of engaging in vigilante activity against illegal immigrants, maybe just immigrants generally. I'm not terribly educated right now. I haven't got the facts at my disposal about Joe Arpaio. At the University of New Mexico stop in his college tour, Yiannopoulos said the southern border must be controlled if America is to flourish, while speaking in favor of Trump's proposed border wall. At the University of New Mexico, Yiannopoulos rallied for those in attendance to report undocumented students and workers to ICE. ICE being, of course, the Immigration Control Agency. That was Immigration Control and Enforcement, ICE, I think. On the night of Trump's inauguration, January 20th, a fan of Milo Yiannopoulos shot a protester at the University of Washington in Seattle. The shooter was waiting in line to attend the Seattle stop of Milo's college tour. After becoming aware of what occurred, Milo lauded the shooting, telling the crowd, "If we don't continue, they have won." Nobody from Breitbart News has condemned the shooting, nor has anyone from Breitbart condemned Milo's suggestion for more gun violence. The alt-right do not share the same ideals as the free speech movement. The alt-right did not rise from the lineage of protests in Berkeley since the 1960s. Milo is not the new Mario Savio. He and his colleagues at Breitbart are parts of the machine, a machine so odious, you've got to make it stop. And that's a story in the Santa Cruz, actually no, the East Bay Indie Media, what Milo and the alt-right got wrong about the free speech movement. And I suppose there's probably a lot more about this, or I hope there's somewhat more about this, on Berkeley Media. Either, I think Berkeley itself has a free radio station. Of course, there's KPFA up there. And there's also a few more stories about this online and on the East Bay Media. Looks like a lot of pictures, although there may be some... some speech and some video.
Shame on you! Shame on you! Nazi, 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 Nazi! Shame on you! Shame on you!
And this is mass protest stopping Breitbart Milo Yiannopoulos from speaking.
Shame on you! Shame on you!
And it looks like people are standing around with signs, holding up video devices. And there's a couple of folks arguing. And there's a lot of angry voices, and there's large crowds being held back by different barriers. I don't see it. I don't see a few police officers there. that are essentially, they've fenced off the Sproul, I think it's the one of the main buildings on campus that faces the street. This is war, refuse fascism, read the signs. And again, you could find some of this on YouTube going to the links by East Bay Indie Media. A big sign, no, refuse fascism. Crowd does not look particularly violent. They just look very angry about this. But, of course, the issue is not whether folks should not be allowed to protest this, but whether the university should be stopping a speaker from speaking. And I don't know what Mario Savio would say about this. I would, we see some people with now with looking with masks on or hoods concealing their everything but their eyes, and continued large crowds. Banners being carried across the campus. And the issue is the right to speak, I guess, for anyone on the right or the left. On the other hand, if you have speakers like, I don't know, war criminals like Henry Kissinger, who are speaking on campus, and they're a part of a criminal war machine, and I guess that's the claim of, here now the people in black are pulling the barriers apart. The folks are ripping the barriers down to allow folks to get closer to the building where they can. Now there's some smoke bombs, it looks like, that are being, I'm not sure where they're coming from. And again, I'm looking at video from yesterday on the UCB campus up in Berkeley. And there's essentially fireworks are being sort of sent into the against the windows of the building, like Roman candles, and it's still there's this large fenced off area that separates the building and police inside the building and the crowd outside by, oh, I don't know, 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 feet at different places. And again, the cry of the crowd is shut it down. And that's a real issue. That's another smoke bomb we just heard. Because this, again, happened last night up at UC Berkeley, and they of course did shut it down. And there's some folks with shields and masks, backpacks, all clad in black. Looks like students, almost elf-like, with their hoods on. And I'm trying to look at this. There's something about keep the Nazis. Let that Nazi know their place. Punch them in the fucking face is the sign it says. And this is I guess what you have to understand as this happens, although There's a lot of interviews with Milo Yiannopoulos that are online. He's, is a famous right-wing figure now. More smoke bombs that are being thrown here. The issue seems to be, are you going to stop a speaker? Are you going to try to stop a speaker with force? If the speaker is, for example, Nazis marching in Skokie was a big issue for the ACLU, and the ACLU lost a lot of people 20 or 30 years ago when they supported the right of the Nazis to march in a parade. And the issue has been for constitutionalists, and for me often, that the belief that focusing on these on marginal groups sets the stage for if you can let the government repress one, they can repress others as well. But then again, if it's the government itself that's doing the speaking and you're protesting and trying to shut that down, frankly, I'm a lot more sympathetic to that. And insofar as Yiannopoulos is connected with the inner circle, the inner Trump circle, but he's not really, he's not an official in the sense of, well, it's hard to say. And again, we have more video here. It's, again, I don't see anybody getting beaten up or hurt, but again, this is a, the video is not focused on that. And may leave it there. I can play you what's what Milo himself has to say, but I don't know if that's going to be terribly helpful. I'd like to get somebody else responding to that. Let's see if I can find anything. This is the Labor Video Project, and you can't see the video, of course. You can just hear me describing it about this mass protest that happened yesterday on the University of California campus. Oh, well, let's see. I guess, having come this far, I will play his speech, or part of it anyway. You have U.S. Nationalist News, which sounds ominous to me. And you have Fox News, which is covering him. And then there's a long interview with Call to Action. I think all of these may be, I don't know if these are all sort of alt-right websites. Here's Milo talking. You can get a feeling of the guy that you couldn't hear with the...
My name is Milo Yiannopoulos, and I'm the gay technology editor of Breitbart News. I was due this evening to speak at UC Berkeley about cultural appropriation, a phenomenon on the progressive social justice left where they sort of like to tell you what kind of costumes it's allowed to wear, whether it's racist to wear a kimono, for instance, if you're not Japanese. It's not a subject you would imagine would prompt the kind of violent riots that you're now seeing on every major broadcast network in the United States, and it's not something I expected to happen tonight. But it turns out that the progressive left, the social justice left, the feminist Black Lives Matter, Antifa left, the hard left, which has become so utterly antithetical to free speech in the last few years, is taking a turn post-Trump's election where they simply will not allow any speaker on campus, even somebody as silly and harmless and gay as me, to have their voice heard. They won't allow students to listen to differing points of view. They're absolutely petrified by alternative visions of how the world ought to look. And people with arguments and facts and reason that don't conform to the crazy social justice left vision of the universe. So I was evacuated by my security detail and by the police tonight from UC Berkeley. UC Berkeley, of course, being the home of the free speech movement. It's both ironic and sad that this campus appears to be nowhere, no friends to free speech anymore. I don't want to get into wild conspiracy theorizing or pointing fingers, but it's been noted by a number of people, including Tucker Carlson at Fox News, that the police presence did not seem to be particularly aggressive this evening. And that's something that I witnessed and that my security detail witnessed too. There was a sort of sit-back, let-it-happen approach. I was evacuated really at the first sign of trouble. Trouble did get a lot worse after I did leave, so I think I'd have had to leave anyway. So this event may never have got off the ground. It seems as though the university and police didn't really want it to happen. But the fact that on an American college campus, you know, a place of higher education, a place of learning in America, which I've come to as, you know, a visitor from the United Kingdom, where we don't have a First Amendment, hoping that this would be somewhere where you could be, do, and say anything, where you could express your views, express your opinions, you know, crack some jokes, make people think, make people laugh, free from violent responses to political ideas. You know, I thought America was the one place that that would be possible. I am, of course, not the racist or the sexist or anything else that the posters that they put up claim that I am. They do that in order to legitimize their own violence against you. But even if I were, even if the things that they said about me were true, this still wouldn't be an appropriate response to ideas. You see, the thing is that the progressive left in America, I've noticed over the last year, has been engaged in this project of conflating ideas with action. And the reason they want to do that, the reason they introduce these words like student safety, like if you're a conservative speaker, you represent a threat to student safety. They do it to blur the lines between ideas and action. Why? To legitimize their own violent responses to somebody else's political opinions. They don't like what I have to say about feminism, for instance, or Black Lives Matter, or the, you know, campus wage gap conspiracy, campus rape culture conspiracy, or the wage gap, or any of the other things that I like to investigate with facts, reason, and logic. They don't like responses to that, so they claim that I'm a threat to student safety. Now, universities are complicit in this stuff. They haven't just inculcated the environment in which it springs up, but they actively pander to it, and in some cases even fund it. It seems to me that the alumni who write to me and say they're horrified by the state of their own old schools. And we had an instance actually just this week at, where was it now? At Bucknell, where a very prominent donor to Bucknell, an alumnus, is a Trump supporter. And he started being abused and insulted by Bucknell's current students. Well, these are the guys that keep the places ticking over. So, you know, it's not for me to tell American higher education institutions, American universities and colleges, how to proceed. But something very disturbing happened this evening, and it was an expression of political violence in response to a not particularly conservative gay speaker on an American college campus, a visitor from the UK who had come, you know, to express his views, to speak to students, to start a discussion, a dialogue. Something very disturbing happened on UC Berkeley campus this evening, and the response to it from other colleges I think is going to determine whether people really lose faith entirely in the American higher education system, whether they, you know, are prepared to send their kids to these places and to keep funding these places. But in the meantime, I'm just sitting in a hotel room stunned that hundreds of people were throwing rocks, goodness knows what else at the building, throwing fireworks at the police, and had to be subdued, according to reports I heard, with tear gas and non-lethal bullets, because they're so threatened by the idea that a conservative speaker might be persuasive and interesting and funny and might persuade, you know, might take some people with him, they just have to shut it down at all costs. Is America of all places now is a scene of political violence in response to ideas. It's very shocking, but I'm safe, my team is safe, and I'm sure you'll hear a lot more about this in the days to come. My name is Milo Yiannopoulos, and I'm the gay...
Yeah, I think we gathered that. Reasonable-sounding fellow, from the first I've heard of him, I've got no notion of the rest of what he said except sort of for... brief quotes, critical and hostile quotes from other sources. So, I don't know. I will have to meditate on all this, as you can too. If anybody has any reflections, if they followed this guy's career, or they were up in Berkeley last night, or they want to talk about the implications here in Santa Cruz, because who knows, maybe it'll show up at UCSC, and there'll be similar concerns by some folks and similar actions. Give a call, 427-3772. 427-3772 is the call-in number here. And while we're waiting for the calls to come pouring in, perhaps we can listen to a little something to soothe the savage breast here and mellow us out and all that sort of thing. Or, I don't know, maybe work us up. That might be good, too. Let's see what I can find here. And by the way, you're tuned to the stream of Free Radio at freakradio.org. Let's see if we can roll into a little something here. It's called Old Man Trump.
I suppose it human hearts when he draw that color line. Here at his Beach Haven Family Project. Beach Haven is my home. I just can't pay his rent. My money's half a train and my soul's friendly bed. Beach Haven is just out. No black folks come along. No, no, we're in trouble. Beach Haven ain't my home. Beach Haven ain't my home. I just can't pay.
Old Man Trump by Ryan Harvey, Annie DeFranco, and Tom Morello. And now it's back to the streets of Santa Cruz, outside the Red Church, about 3 days ago.
So I'm outside the Red Church. It's Monday the 30th of January. I'm talking with
Mendoza Antonio.
And so, Senor, you say you're going to forgive the cops.
Forgive the police for busting my arm. Jesus said forgive them.
And what have they got to be forgiven for in the last week, let's say?
Not just killing innocent people on the west side, a man with a rake, but, you know, beating on
that
women.
Was last year. Now, come on, let's not be.
Last week.
It just seems like last week. That's Sean Arnold you're talking
I don't forget.
About.
Yeah. That was an innocent man, but, you know, I guess. Maybe somebody will forgive him, but I don't know if God will. But, you know, I'm not going to sue the taxpayers for what the police did. So
you refuse to sue the taxpayers?
Yes.
What about docking the police chief's salary?
How about just hanging him for treason? But that's not my job.
Well, that won't give you any money. You just got a dead corpse.
Well, that would be peace on earth. Oh, well, at least it's
that would be justice anyway.
Yes, would be.
We've been talking with
Mendoza Antonio.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
All right. We have a report from the beach from
Mr. Squeaky.
And Squeaky, what do you got?
I got that there is a lot of thievery going on around here, Dave.
What's happening?
Oh, man, it is all bad out there, man. People beating each other up, people hovering over people's stuff. You can't leave your stuff sitting around for not 5 minutes without somebody hovering over it, trying to wonder what you got in there.
Now, what actually happened to you today? Anything of exciting?
What happened to me today? I slept a lot today and got a lot to eat.
Did you lose any of your stuff?
No, I didn't, because I did not let it out of my sight.
And how long have you been in town?
I've been in town for about 8 weeks, I'd say.
How much of your stuff have you lost?
Everything. I've had to start over from scratch twice.
And the last time that happened was?
Was about 4 weeks ago. I lost $2,200 and my cell phone.
How did that happen?
I got punched in the face.
Wow. Where did that happen?
Right down by the trestle.
And about what time of day or night did that happen?
It happened at about 8, I'd say 8 o'clock at night.
Someone you knew or someone you didn't know?
Someone I didn't know. I was just being friendly, offering what I had with them, you know, because they didn't have too much.
And they repaid your kindness with a blow.
That is right. I guess they wanted all of my stuff, not just a little bit.
Anything else around town you've noticed you want to comment on? Let's see, how have the police been treating you?
The police have been all right, really, to tell you the truth. Hey, they have given me blankets, food. One cop even literally went and out of his way to go and buy me a sleeping bag and gave it to me the very next day.
Yeah. Name of the cop?
So you don't die of hypothermia.
And look, this is what it is. They do not harass you if you are a productive member of society.
Uh-huh. No.
I've heard that before, but the name of the cop who gave you the sleeping bag?
The name of the cop that gave me the sleeping bag was
But do you know, remember his name? Or?
I do not remember his name.
How long ago was that?
He was a colored fella. He was maybe of Indian descent or Mexican descent.
And chunky fellow.
Sounds
loud stuff. Doggy meets doggy, I think.
Oh, big dog meets little dog.
So when was this this act of kindness?
This act of kindness was around, I can't recall the date. It was
more or less
a few weeks ago. A few weeks back.
Well, that sounds.
When it got really cold outside.
That
you know,
sounds cool.
Nice.
And so you still retain that sleeping bag?
I do not. It got stolen.
Another theft. So, what do you anticipate doing tonight?
You know, I don't plan that far ahead, Dave.
You're taking it blow by blow.
Blow by blow. Mr. Squeaky, as long as Mr. Squeaky makes at least 25 people smile a day, I've had a really good day. And I picked up at least a good 1,500 pieces of trash today, walking these streets.
I hope you get paid for your labor, Squeaky Man.
Oh, no, I don't request payment. I request to be left alone in peace while I do my duties.
And, of course, we have been talking with...
Yours truly, Mr. Squeaky.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Clarence?
So we're meeting two dogs, but we're talking right now to...
Demon.
And Demon, we have this nice-looking white... What kind of a pooch?
He's a Britno blue-nose pit. Clarence, which everybody knows, and this is a blue-nosed pit, and this one's Dee Dee Eileen, because she likes to lean, but all of the homeless know them. They're part of their road dogs for the homeless. They're on the website, so you can see pictures of them.
Which website?
It's roaddogs.com.
Roaddogs.com.
Yeah, it's how the...
You're a woman who's taken care of a number of dogs.
Oh, yeah, 37.
Really? You've counted?
Oh, yeah. At one time, I had 24 puppies I was raising.
Now, how many of these dogs do you remember the names of?
The last 19.
Should I test you?
Riley, Isis, Dee Dee, Clarence, Roddy, Robin, Lady, Fox, Max, Shira, and JoJo.
And the one we talked on the radio about was?
JoJo. And I miss him. He was full-blooded Timberwolf, and that's the reason why he got put down.
I haven't heard of this happening to anybody else recently, but you yourself had this problem with your dog. You think essentially, was it being taken away at some point?
Okay, if you're not Native American, you cannot own a full-blooded Timberwolf. You have to have special Native American numbers, papers, all of it. And if they find out that it's got wolf in it, yeah, they will put him down. The county right here puts them down. They also put down pits here.
And that's what happened to your pooch?
Yep, we know for a fact.
Well, that is a
utter
bummer.
Yeah, Poppy and Eric Peabody's the one who came and told me that they see my dog get shot.
And you actually went through a process of really trying to get that dog back.
Yeah, I even took Native American paperwork, all of it, trying to get that dog back from the county.
And you had all kinds of difficulties with kind of bogus court proceedings, right?
Oh, yeah. They were like, you're not full-blooded Native American, you can't have it. I'm like, ha! My ancestors were here before yours, stupid fools. I said my grandparents were here in 1809. Can't be any more local Santa Cruzian than that.
And which tribe was that?
I'm Blackfoot and full-blooded Apache.
Here in Santa Cruz? Were they Apaches this far west?
Yes, there was.
Well, you may be living proof of that now.
Yep. There's a bunch of us here. That and the Pawnee. And the Pawnee are originally from Virginia. Eric's tribe, they're originally from West Virginia, and there's a bunch of them out here now, too, in Santa Cruz.
Now, are you located in a car these days? You're pointing to the vehicle we're talking to.
Yeah.
Any hassles for being in the car?
No, because I don't want everybody to know where we're staying.
We're not going to tell you at this time, but if you pay me $10, I will reveal the secret location.
It's out in Monterey, and it's over by the base in Monterey, over by the Dole factory out there. You get off, you go to Moss Landing.
Before you give me all the details, tell me, is it true that there are a lot of folks parked sort of north of Seaside along the coast?
Yes.
And how is that going? Are they being left alone?
The cops are coming. They're driving by. All they're doing is welfare checks because they found 3 vets dead out there.
Wow.
So that's all they're doing. They're not harassing us. There's been people out there that are vets that have been out there 4 or 5 years.
But are they providing trash pickups, sanitation?
You got to pick up trash up after your pets.
No, I mean, is the county providing, dumpster pickup?
Yeah.
There are dumpsters out there.
Yes, because right there at the beach, they have dumpsters for us to put all of our garbage in and all of it.
How about porta potties?
No.
Bathrooms?
Yes, bathrooms. But they close those at midnight.
Well, they want you to turn into a pumpkin? Is that the idea?
Yep. But they're closed at midnight.
So you prefer Monterey, and yet here you are outside the Red Church. Are you have a fondness for the Calvary Episcopal?
No, I've volunteered here for years, and I'm going to keep volunteering here to feed the homeless. You know I volunteered here when this used to be the youth coffee house, and this is where my people are.
Have things gotten worse or better at the church since the youth coffee house?
Better.
And how would you say that's happened?
Because now it's open to everybody. And before, when it was just the youth, everybody was out here fighting. There was more drug use out here. And now that it's open to the public, I've noticed it's open to anybody who wants to come and eat on Monday nights. I notice we don't have all of the drugs, all of the fighting. We don't have all of the cops down here like we did when it was Youth Coffee House. Cops were down here four and five times a night when it was Youth Coffee House, because other youths were beating up other youths, trying to get with their girlfriends, whatever.
Now, the woman who was running the Youth Coffee House was named?
Shannon?
I'm trying to remember myself. And
Ron was her husband, I know that. And then Spook was down here helping with that.
She's just on the tip of my tongue. I've seen her. I haven't seen her in a couple of years.
Her name was Shannon. It's Shannon.
And I know you haven't heard about her. Well, is there anything else you want to add,
Yeah. Guys, be very, very careful. Major J did pass. If you were caught in the same area three nights in a row and sleeping in your car, they can impound your car. They can impound your pets. And it's 6 months in county jail, and it's only in Santa Cruz County that it got passed.
I have to go look at that, because I hadn't heard about that one. Thank you, DeMond.
Yeah, that was on the ballot, and it's Major J.
You take care of it.
Yep, you too.
We've been talking with
DeMond.
And, of course, the local pooches.
Dee Dee and Clarence.
Thank you both.
Yeah, Major J did get passed, and me and Gary, we'll be keeping up on it.
The Sheriff's Department ended up issuing a ticket for $105 to the VIN number of my car, not my driver's license.
So this was out, where was this located?
80 yards past Bonnie Dune, 80 yards past Wilder Ranch.
Wilder Ranch?
Where it splits into two lanes right there, that right shoulder. There's never been a no parking sign there. Go up there now, I bet you there is.
And did you have a conversation with the sheriff when he gave you a citation?
Yeah, and they put our car down as being blue, and I asked her if she was colorblind. And if you get a ticket from the sheriff's department in Santa Cruz County, you cannot protest it. There is no place to protest those tickets. You literally
have to mail them to Santa Ana, California.
Now, did you have any kind of conversation with the sheriff?
Oh, he was very cordial and woke us up and told us what he was doing and don't go anywhere.
And this was in November, you said?
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving. Yeah.
And had you heard that anyone else got any citations other than you?
There were 45 of us that night that got them.
Say it again?
There was 45 people that got them that night.
And this is in the same place or in different places?
Same place.
Straight down Highway 1. From where we were at. All the way down to Davenport.
Did he specify to you, not necessarily the number of the law, but the nature of the law he was ticketing you under?
Being a transient, basically.
That's what he said. He goes, being a transient and sleeping in your vehicle is the reason why he done it.
All right, I'm going to have to look into this. We've been talking with a man.
Good Samaritan.
And, of course, the evil, but unfortunately now recognized.
As Sharon.
Thank you so much. Thank you both.
And I had thought that RVs, and I think that I'm not sure if the vehicle that we were all leaning against as I did this interview last Monday outside the Red Church was actually an RV. And you may remember, those of you who've been following these broadcasts, that the city and the county, though it passed RV nighttime bans, had those bans stayed by the Coastal Commission enforcement staff, or at least they were their warnings stopped both the sheriff, supposedly, and the city police from proceeding. And that's, as far as I know, still the case. What the folks, if DeMond's account is accurate, got the 45 people got citations for may have been camping by the side of the road, where camping is a very broad definition, and it's sort of a complicated interlacing series of confusing laws. I'll have to. Maybe I can look further into it. This requires this kind of research that I'm hoping that folks will be interested in doing. And I actually got one bite on my fishing line today. And my thanks to the woman who called in and or emailed me and said she was interested in doing some work on some of these Huff issues. But we need to go through the citations and see just how much and who and against whom these citations are being issued until we can estimate and let the community how much it all costs and give the community a report on what's going on and encourage those who are trying to find ways to fight back, both through lawsuits through and through other means, legislative pressure, protests, civil disobedience, you name it. Anyway, you are tuned to the stream of FreakRadio.org, which is Free Radio Santa Cruz. My name is Robert Norris. This show is called Bathrobes, Pierres, Broadsides. Call a number here, and I think my lines are open, and oh boy. Apologies. It looks like, though the phone is working, the equipment has been turned off. Now it's on. So if you've been trying to call and getting a busy signal, you can actually get through now. At least the first lucky person who calls in will be able to get through. So, I don't know, I didn't see that before. My apologies to all you listeners who've been, I know many of you, hundreds of you, trying to call in. And if you want to call in, please do, 427-3772, discussing anything that we've been talking about for the last hour and a half, or perhaps subjects that are related that we should be talking about, but that I haven't heard about, and only you know about. So, in the meantime, I will continue with some more of these interviews.
Any you want to add, Samaritan?
Be careful.
Spirit, we venture into the mind of young black men.
Fair enough.
Let's take a break.
Thank you. I'm talking with.
So this is where you sign up for the Faith Community Shelter Program?
At the Red Church. What's your name?
It's Kathy.
And Kathy, you've been doing this for, what, 6 months?
That's about 4 to 6 months.
And you are, how do you feel about the program?
I feel safe. You know, at least I'm indoors and I'm not being harassed by the police. And we have mats to sleep on and sleeping bags, and there were warm settings. So.
And were you getting ticketed or harassed before?
No, actually, I was in the shelters on the River Street, and then I've been in the loft before. But I have slept out on the streets, and I wasn't being harassed. I was told to move once by the police. Was sleeping by the buildings next door, but that's it. So, but I wasn't being harassed.
How would you compare River Street, the loft, and the AFC Church program?
This program, it serves food, and so when we go to a different church, they bring food that they've donated to us.
How does it compare with the meal you're having tonight?
This is good.
And what Kathy is talking about is the small Association of Faith Communities church program that serves 20 people and has for the last couple years. It's a sort of a semi-permanent group of folks who are presumably still looking for housing. And as distinguished from the Winter Shelter program or the Warming Center, Winter Shelter serves about 110. The Warming Center, that's every night, and the Warming Center is occasional. And we got a caller. Hi, you're on Free Radio with Robert. Hello.
Hi, Robert. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
Well, I was heartened to hear about that police officer that bought a sleeping bag for that poor homeless man who had his stuff ripped off. I guess they're not all pigs.
Well, you know, all these people are human beings. The trouble is they are turned into something different by the machine that they're operating under, in my view. So.
Well, I had a thought on that as well. A lot of the other pigs are throwing away sleeping bags, claiming that they're medical waste, and therefore the people who have been deprived of that are, you know, subjected to manslaughter when they die from the cold.
Yeah, no, I mean, of course, what we love to do, of course, is document that, at least that the sleeping bags are being taken away. And how many instances, say, in the last 6 months, caller, have you been either aware of directly that it's happened or through a credible account that you feel that?
Well, we've all seen the video Brent did. It's a standard procedure at the Parks Department to just throw them away. He clarified that. But I had an idea, you know, if we put the sleeping bags into plastic garbage bags. They're not medical waste anymore. There's no excuse. And we could put slogans on those garbage bags that, you know, it's murder to throw this sleeping bag away or things of that nature. And we could print it on that upside down so that, because a lot of the homeless will wear garbage bags as raincoats. It's been raining a lot, and that would be a protest vehicle as well.
Sounds cool. Yeah, I like that idea. You, of course, will be getting that all together at the next Tough meeting.
Yeah, actually, that just requires cutting some stencils.
Excellent.
But as you know, Robert, I'm not an activist. I'm a slacktivist, and that's why I'm calling it on the show. Someone else could easily do this as a, say, anarchist project. You just, you know, spray paint it from a stencil on some garbage bags, and they'll hand them out at Food and Bombs. I already talked to Keith about this.
And what did they?
Is also on board.
What did the maestro have to say?
He's all for it. You know, they'll pass them out there. And then people can bring those, you know, if they find them or whatever, they can just drop them off at Food Not Bombs. Any pigs that don't want to be pigs, they just drop them off at Food Not Bombs.
So we're talking about two different things. One is wearing a garbage bag. The other is just carrying one around your sleeping bag?
Oh, the main thing is to hand them out to the homeless so they could keep their sleeping bags in those bags when they leave them at the dike or something. And that's the main use. But then, of course, when it rains, the homeless could also use it as a raincoat. It's a dual-purpose garbage bag. And then, of course, it could always be used for garbage.
So this, you know, I of course, saw the video, and I'm glad that he made it, that Brent Adams made of a city employee. And it isn't quite clear that it's a ranger. That I don't know.
Right.
I think it's just a city employee, but who knows.
Right.
And he... that's one instance. But do you know of others where that's happened... Recently, I actually am remembering some instances myself, but do you, caller, have you heard of any bags being taken by authorities? I've heard a lot of sort of inter-homeless theft that's going on, you know, and I've also heard of people, you know, what have you heard recently? Let me ask you that.
Well, yeah, as you know, recently I don't really keep in touch with the homeless community. That's what you do, Robert, but... this is a personal issue for me, because as you know, my brother, who posted G on Indie Bay, was released from jail at the end of December, yet they kept his sleeping bag, leaving him to possibly die in the cold. So this is like a personal vendetta to me.
This was best back in 2012, we're talking, right?
Right, the end of 2000, right after Occupy.
Yeah, that would be 2012. Well, 2011, actually.
And this is, they know, anyone knows, you put somebody out there without any protection against the cold, they could very easily die from the cold in winter.
And, of course, yeah, I think there's indifference to that, of almost studied and stoic and oblivious nature. They will tell you that they're just doing their job, of course.
That's what the Nazis said, too, you know.
Well,
it's calling the author.
Indeed. Yeah. Well, I think that there's a, you know, I mean, that's it's always this kind of class warfare that's been going on for hundreds of years does involve a supreme form of turning off your emotions and human compassion toward folks of a different class, race, you know, gender, sexual preference.
All our problems are because of the homeless, right?
I've often believed that to be true. Yeah, definitely. The homeless have to be eliminated.
All the local problems, all our national problems, are because of you know, the Muslims in other countries. You know, it's just scapegoating.
And particularly the Muslim homeless, the Syrian refugees, really are to blame.
Well,
they
must be the worst, right? Yeah,
they are really the problem in the world. Yeah, I have to agree. So, any other reports? You do a show regularly, caller. Do you want to kind of give it a plug here or not?
Yeah, it's on Saturday afternoon is what I can get in. I usually get in. It's about 1 to 4, but I usually get in late. And I do conspiracy stuff, too, though. It's just my show's dangerous to watch, Robert.
Yeah, well, I don't have to watch it. I could just listen to it and then turn it off if I don't like it.
But they know you were listening.
Well, they might.
Because we don't have an antenna anymore. We need an antenna for that anonymous listening for all the dangerous radical shows that are on free radio.
Well, as I was saying earlier in the show, caller, I think there are plans afoot to put up that antenna again. And I was asking folks out there to also look for studio space, because that seems to be the next thing we're going to lose in about 4 weeks or thereabouts. So. So we are, you know, hanging on by our fingernails or, you know, watching it dissolve before our eyes. And that's, I don't know. Did you call her? Did you get anywhere near the Women's March 2 weeks ago and the inaugural ball?
When I saw you, Robert, when we were talking to that ranger who was talking.
Of course. Do you have any impressions about the crowd that, or anything that happened to you during that day that stuck with you?
No, it was a huge crowd. It was just, and I was trying to get to the studio, and it was marching right by where I was going, so I actually got in the street on that one, and there was a flag as well.
Yeah, it was. It was massive.
Massive numbers of people. Well, these are the liberals. There's a lot of liberals here, you know. We are the more radical fringe, you know. Homelessness is, you know, it's not really a popular liberal.
No, not at all, unfortunately. And I'm wondering if there's any indication that the rage against Trump, which is also the defeated rage of the Clintonites, has got also, you know, an edge to it that might alert people to the issues underneath, which impact everybody, and also even more impact homeless people. You know, I don't know.
Well, he is such a fucking screw up. He is going to destroy the economy, so a lot of these liberals will be homeless along with the rest of us. Sell your stocks now. It's a selling opportunity.
Well, there you go. Anything you want to add there, caller, before I roll on?
Well, take the money you get from your stock sales and buy guns, because we're headed for a police state and the price of guns are going to skyrocket.
I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And call-in lines open, 427-3772. Apologies for the third or fourth time that the damn lines were locked down the last hour and a half prior to this previous caller. And while I'm waiting for you to call in and denounce me for incompetence in the studio, I will play some more from Monday night, I guess it was the 30th of January.
This is good food, too.
And how does it compare with those previous programs at River Street and at the Pauley Loft?
Well, River Street has...
And we're talking with Kathy, you may remember, who has been in the Interfaith Satellite, I should say, the Association of Faith Communities 20-person program for 4 to 6 months, and I was asking her how things are. She seems to be pretty satisfied with it, but let's hear what she says.
It's really good food for their feedings, but their end times are a lot earlier. They're like 2:30, 3 o'clock, and for us it's 5 o'clock here, so we can be in by 5.
Now, if you want to go out and do something in the evening, like you have somebody to meet, or you want to go to a meeting and an event of some kind, is that a possibility?
Yes, you can do that as long as you're back by 8 o'clock.
So, as a 7-year-old, you have to be in by 8 or else they won't tuck you in.
As a 7-year-old, you should be with your parents. But, yes, if you have something else that you have to do, as long as you call and let them know that you're not going to be here for dinner, you can be in by 8 o'clock, and that is the latest you can be in for the program. And bedtime is at 10.
Anything you want to say about the program that has struck you, either good or bad?
The program is actually good. The only bad thing about it is the early time's out. Sometimes we have to be up at 5 and out by 6. But as far as the program itself, it really is a good program. And the people that bring the food are from the churches, and they donate their time to bring in food for the program itself. So.
And how long have you been outside in Santa Cruz?
I've been in and out of homeless for off and on for 3 to 4 years. So,
any comments about whether things have improved, deteriorated, stayed the same?
Actually, things have improved. I get disability now, so I'm looking for housing. So that's a good thing.
How long have you been looking for housing?
For about 3 months now. So I've been trying to get into programs that I can get into to get some type of housing. But I've been indoors to one housing, and it just didn't pan out. That's all. So, but I'm trying to get inside.
Anything you wish, any other secret information you wish to give me?
I wish there was, because if there is, I wish somebody would tell me. Because I could use some information about housing.
We've been talking with.
What's that?
Your name again is?
Is Kathy.
Thank you, Kathy. Oh, we're talking with
Carol?
You say last night that there was some gunplay in town?
Yes, there was, over on the west side. People were shooting guns at, talking about trying to take the Santa Cruz back or something. What is it? That
they take back Santa Cruz?
Take back Santa Cruz, and they were shooting at my friend.
And were you a witness or you just heard about this?
No, this is someone that I camp with, and of course, yes, I heard about it. He was crying when he got there. My boyfriend was there with him, and I wasn't there yet. But my boyfriend was there with him, and he was crying when he got there and scared.
You want to say his name?
Jesse.
And how long have you known Jesse?
Michael and I have been together 6 years, and he's a close friend of Michael's. He went to school with Michael.
And what did Jesse tell you exactly?
He said that there was a 23-year-old. There was a 23-year-old woman involved in it too.
And who was also gunning people down, or what was the deal?
That's all that I know of, that they shot at him.
And how many people were involved that he saw?
There were maybe three in the car.
Was it kind of a drive-by sort of thing?
No, they actually were trying to get him to get in the car.
They wanted to what? To chat with him, kidnap him, take his backpack?
But when he didn't do it, then they pulled out their gun.
That's according to his account. About what time did this happen, do we know?
Must have been like around 9, maybe. That I'm not sure of.
Sometime yesterday?
Yes.
And where did we have any idea that it happened?
It was over there.
9 o'clock at night, you
mean? Downtown, actually, because he said he ran all the way home.
Do we know where downtown?
No, I don't remember him saying.
Well, I'll give you my card. If he wants to get in touch with me and he wants to talk about it, he can.
Okay.
I imagine he may be apprehensive about that, but we'll see. And we've been talking with an anonymous individual who gave her name earlier, but maybe nobody remembers.
He just texted.
All right.
Thank you. Pledge.
Hey, how are you?
Were you able to make the card
left? We're here at the Big Old Center at the Association of Faith Communities. So, you were saying after Thursday, what kind of events have we got coming up?
Let's see. The.
And this is activist and bagel provider Steve Plaich, who's, along with a couple of other folks, butters up the bagels with egg salad and cream cheese at the end of the food line, adding the bagels to a relatively well-stocked Association of Faith Communities, or I should say Red Church meal, Calvary Episcopal meal, which involves usually hot food and salad, and the best part of it are the brownies for dessert, of course, but I usually get there late, so that's about all I usually can pick up on, but... Let's hear some more from Steve Plaich.
ACLU affiliate meeting is in Morgan Hill this weekend. It's a day-long.
Going to be going there to chat.
Yeah, well,
what will you be bringing to them?
Well, we established our yearly priorities, elect our officers, so we'll be seeing what we want to identify as our priority issues for the year. More than likely, it'll be immigration. More than likely, voting rights.
Which is significant to poor people in Santa Cruz.
Oh, the ability to vote.
And what about homeless people?
Homelessness was a priority issue for us last year, so it's unlikely to be.
Just last year's fashion, right?
Yeah, they're undisputed.
Come and gone.
They're just unfashionable now.
No, it's not. It's not a bit. Not a bit.
No,
certainly not. That was Steve Plaich giving you the update. Well, now, Kathy, do you have any comments for free radio here?
Kathy Bates is the actress.
how could I be more mistaken?
And this actually was Debbie Bates who was there. She's the person heading the winter shelter program, but I muffed my chance or miffed it or muffled it or muddled it so that I'll have to catch her at another time. But maybe that'll happen.
I know. I'm flattered.
Well, are you going to sing for us here?
Yes. What about free radio in competition with
RCNB is starting a radio station or something.
I heard something about. I'm not sure what's going on with it. No, I understand.
Secure conversation.
Well, this is very secure. In fact, everyone is going to be hearing it will feel secure.
Find out about it. Yeah.
I haven't. If I can, I will. Yeah.
And this is a conversation with Mel Nunez, who's another bagel provider, actually. He's a worker who puts the spread on the bagels and passes it on to folks passing by. And he was actually on the Homeless Issues Task Force many years ago. And he's a lot of these folks who are working there are volunteering there are concerned about the same issues, I think, that many of our listeners are and that I'm concerned about. And he was also initially a critic or a skeptic about the winter shelter program, thinking that it might not be too manageable. And I asked him for more specifics on that. I don't think I got them in the subsequent conversation. But let's hear a little more of what Mel and I chat about.
Donated to them. If you guys are struggling, for crying out loud, you know.
Well, we can always appreciate.
It's going to be another KUSP.
Well, or another
NPR
KSCO.
Crap, you know. Yeah, right. But no NPR, please. Okay. Whatever. But anyway, we don't need two competing.
So there's some rumor of a radio station being started elsewhere in town. I think I don't know whether it's a revival of KUSP or a new station entirely. Be nice if some of those folks wanted to come to Free Radio and join in the grand tradition here. And we've got a pretty solid tradition, however clumsy some of us may be at times. We are really open to the real voices in the community, not just the vanilla stuff, not just the canned stuff, although we do some canned shows on here. So, here's some more.
Good.
Oh, there you are.
Entities.
I'm going to go check with Andrea.
So we're losing Debbie here.
Yeah, go get her.
Now, I want to get you. So what's happening? Your man is actually on the scene. Debbie Bates, of course, is the, she's the head of the AFC program here, the $300,000 fund distributor.
By default.
And whose fault is that?
You didn't step up. I didn't see you this year.
I was never approached on this issue.
Yeah, well, I wasn't either, so I'm in that boat. But neither one of us.
You're a sock man. You're leaning over a barrel of socks.
I can barely stand upright. But, and truly, she didn't go petitioning for another position, okay? So this, like the surf, the tide withdrew as soon as work began that needed people to show up and get dirty. And she showed up and got more dirty than anybody at the get-go.
This is a positive report as distinguished from a somewhat equivocal report I got from you 2 months ago.
No. That's a part. I'm sorry. Life isn't all black and white, you know.
You had your doubts about the possible success of the winter shelter program. Have things improved? Are you feeling your expectations?
Things need to be improved.
They certainly do. They certainly
dramatically,
do.
Okay?
But has,
and needs participation from people in Santa Cruz, maybe even including a well-paid politician or two.
We do our bit.
Oh, news bulletin. Nobody goes to church anyway. But let the churches do it, okay? You know, that's great. The rest of the community gets in its car and commutes.
Bitterness, Mr. AFC man. Perhaps so. Now, are you telling me that things actually, your expectation that the program might have its difficulties has somewhat been smoothed over, or have those expectations unfortunately been borne out, or has there been something in between?
I'm not on site. I'm not qualified to assess with accuracy. I know and I believe, based on everything I've heard and seen, it needs community involvement, including public agency professional involvement.
Yes.
Dignity for people,
below a certain income seems to eliminate public officials from participating, you know? So,
and you hear someone who wants something.
Go ahead. That's Haley.
Hey, Haley.
Haley is the best helper in the faith community shelter. How can I help you? You're going to, okay. Would you take these socks?
Well, I'll leave it there. That's
kind of heavy. You all right? Want a bagel to go with it? They're already beat up.
And we'll leave it napkins, bagels, and warm socks. Clean socks, actually. And dry socks for the moment until the next rain hits, of course. And we've been talking with... What's your latest cognomen?
What was that word?
Cognomen.
Oh.
It's like a pseudonym, but it's a little different. I'm not quite sure how.
I like it. I don't know that term. I don't know if I can answer. Okay. Yeah.
Should we call you Mad Eyes Mel?
Specialist. Yes, you can tag me with whatever you need.
I ran across one of your... we'll talk about that later.
You made up with me with a salad cream.
How many people would you estimate were fed tonight?
65.
And we're, of course, at the end of the month, so that's less than usual, isn't it?
It is.
To indicate people are dying off, leaving town, dissatisfied with the food. What's the story?
All of the above. All of the above.
And driven away by the music.
Yeah. And actually, yeah, it's never just one answer to, you know.
Well, what is your answer or answers?
Food is not inaccessible, okay? Food's not the band-aid that we pretend it to be. Community may be, but shelter and housing, that's the thing. So you can get food many places. You just can. You don't have to put up with other people.
That's a little music you've been listening to in the background by the unpaid but still dedicated singers. But without Valerie Promise, what's happened to Mama Val?
I just love it. I think she strained her vocal cords.
Yeah, could be, maybe. Or our ears, as the case may be.
The German Shepherd's chasing her.
Anything else you've observed in the last week, Mel, you want to comment on for the rest of us?
Just greed and delusion all over town. I don't know.
Say that again.
Greed and delusion all over town.
Greed and delusion. A very, very hostile view. We have a new mayor, Mel, Cynthia Chase. Now, doesn't that give you hope? New
she's
renewed
in lockup. I don't know the woman. I'm sorry.
She sent me an email.
A mute on the council as far as last year. I don't know. But she is well connected. Yes. Egg salad or cream cheese? Or both.
The last of the two bagels are... Well, we have one bagel left here.
Last of all, James Fenimore Cooper you've been interviewing.
Not really. I never got into that book, actually, if you know what I mean.
I never did, too. Tell me, though, this came up on the weekend. I know who Jack London was. Who was the sea wolf? Is there such a beast, or was it wolf?